Why don't we stand? We're going to go in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. You know, I was thinking this is the service before Thanksgiving, but all month, I'm sure we're all thankful for many different things. And I've had this message for a while, and I just couldn't shake that, man, I'm so thankful to be founded on the rock. Amen. Matthew 7, 24 and 25 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," you can hear them, but you have to also do them. "I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And we're going to stop there because I want to focus on the positive of this, because we know what happens when you don't listen. You're not going to last too long. But when you hear his words and you do them, you are likened unto a wise man and you are founded on the rock. Amen. I am going to ask Brother Dan, would you like to pray tonight, please, for us? Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to start with a story because I know we all love stories here. I probably have shared this before, but it came to my mind, so I'm going to tell it again. But Jonathan and I, for years, we lived in a condo, and we prayed for a house. I know some of you have felt the same way, whether it was a condo or an apartment, but you know, you're like, I would like to not share a wall with my neighbor. That'd be great. I need a yard for these kids. Lord, please help us. And so, you know, we love the condo, but we were outgrowing it, and we needed a place where we could grow. And so at the end of our search, there was actually two houses left out of our search that we really, really liked. And so we met with our realtor at the first house, and it was a cute little white house. It had amazing features on the outside. And between the two houses, this was actually the one that I was most excited about because it looked nicer. It had, you know, from the outside, everything going for it. But when we got into the house and we started walking, we began to notice little things that actually were not really little things. And then big things that were really big things. Like there was a long crack, a couple of them that scaled the ceiling in the main living areas, and you're walking and you're looking at it like, I don't think that's supposed to be there. And, you know, it was kind of disheartening. We waited a long time. Could we live with that? Probably not. So then I remember we got down to the basement, and that's where we saw more things, and that really solidified that this was not the house for us. Because we looked at the foundation of that house. We looked at the concrete slab. And there was actually an insanely long crack across the entire slab. And then I think we also saw some water damage as well down there. We saw like there was a couple discolorations in the concrete. And so we were looking at each other like, man, on the outside, this house looked so good. But it didn't take a professional to see that the crack in the foundation was a danger to the whole house and probably why there was a crack in the ceiling. And so we walked away pretty heavy-hearted, I think. And we're like, okay, well, let's go check out this other second house we're not as crazy about, because visually it was rough. The second house was not really white. It actually had details of brown all over. Everything was brown, tan, and it just didn't look very nice on the outside. And then when we walked inside, some of the features were kind of challenging for us. The kitchen had the oldest oven I had ever seen. It definitely was never remodeled. It looked like an airplane engine in there. And there was also the slider door, and there was a gaping hole at the bottom of the slider. Literally, I could see under the deck. And so it was a nice little breezeway for the mice to come in and out. And the squirrels to come, and they leave all their treats and, you know, other things that they leave and then they go back out. So it definitely was treated like a motel. And I was not excited about having to live in that house. But when we got to the basement and when we looked at the foundation and we inspected the actual bones of the house, it was good bones. You know that saying? It was structurally sound. It has good bones. So we bought it. And that's the house we have now. Praise God. But, you know, it's funny. When we say a house has good bones, what does that mean? Well, it's solid. It has a good foundation. It has a good structure. Everything can encompass around it. Does our faith have good bones? We should really think about that. Are we really founded on the rock? And I think I was talking to my brother earlier, and we were talking about just the different kind of churches that are out there. And I remember, you know, what the Lord shared with me, and of course some of the teaching that I received here from Bishop Breedow. And, you know, all of us have a different, you know, there's that process of illumination, right? All of us have a different amount of illumination. All of us have a different probably portion of a revelation. But I think what makes it difficult is when people take one small piece of the revelation and they camp in it, and then they create an entire community around it. But God has more for us. And so, you know, on the surface, the first house seemed like the best choice. And if we would have settled, who knows what would have happened down the road. It looked better by comparison on the outside, but underneath, it literally was falling apart. And the second house, as gross as the interior was, and yes, I had to clean up all of the treasures that these critters have left behind for us, and I had to seal up their door. They were evicted. They couldn't come back anymore. But it was hard work. But we decided that it was worth it because the house had good bones. And none of those things are really deal breakers when you have to work hard to clean something up. It's actually harder to have a good, solid foundation. Costs more. That's why a lot of people don't do it. We can look the best. We can dress the best. We know this. We can even have good manners and we can have good speech. But if our faith and our life are not founded on the rock, what does it really matter? And, you know, I think about the church and the growth of the church, and I was talking to another friend about this, and the Lord really helped. He's so good. When we don't have the right words to say, he gives me analogies and helps my heart to say, you know, what I'm trying to convey in my brain. I have a lot of stuff going on up here. But, you know, God can come in and he can change the walls around and he can set people up and he can take people down. And he's the one that corrects us and he's the one that molds us and he can heal the offenses and he can help us forgive. And we know we're not perfect and he knows that we fall short. But if our church is founded on the rock, he can help us with all of those things. And because we have a solid foundation, the growth of the church means that we have truth to stand on. So even when there's growing pains and there's hurts and there's changes, God stretches us and shifts things, we all know where our church stands. Amen? We are founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever happens among us or around us, we have the rock under our feet. And he shall not be moved. And if he can't be moved, then we can't be moved. Psalm 31, 2 and 3 says, bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. For an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. A cracked foundation, no surprise, is not a solid foundation. It's evidence that there's something weak in the structure. We know if we're talking about houses, you know, maybe it was a rush job, cheap materials. Maybe it was not choosing the right location to build and the earth starts moving. I know I have a friend who literally has a stream running under her house. And we pray for her every day. She's probably watching. But you know what? When we talk about our faith and we talk about our church, we talk about our life, thank goodness that our rock is also the master builder. Amen. He knows what is needed to make it right. And he can take a life. He can pull us out of the miry clay. He can take a church. He can take anything we offer him with a fractured foundation, and he can make it new. That's how powerful he is. And I know it's so discouraging, you know, we're trying to live for the Lord and we look around and there's this moral decay, decline of our society, and people are walking around and we wonder what's going on. They have cracked foundations. That's what's going on. And this is why they're unstable and they don't know what to do and they're so confused and they're tossed to and fro. And it's because false beliefs will find the tiniest sliver to wedge right into that foundation and ruin the entire house or the entire person. And so in the first house, someone was a genius and filled that long crack in the basement with insulation foam. I'm not sure if that's proper. It didn't look proper to us. But that was a clue that repairs might be questionable in this place. And you know, it is our nature to try and fix things how we want. And we try to live our lives the way we want to because we think we know how to fix everything. And when we see people around us, you know, chasing certain things, it's because they don't see that their foundation is fractured and that they need a God, the master builder, to help repair it. There's a lack of awareness because their spiritual eyes have yet to be opened. And now our job is not to be the storm. Our job is not to be that wrecking ball and start tossing stuff out of the window when we're working with people. When we love people, that doesn't mean we just go in and just change things ourselves. No. Our job is to keep our feet and our faith planted on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an example of his mercy and love. Then we can gently come alongside them. And we can say, you know what? I know you're struggling, and I don't know how it's going to be fixed. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that there is a rock, there is a God that has changed my life, and I know that he can do the same for you no matter what the situation is. And someday I pray that he will become your rock. Amen. You know, because when we are the storm, the Lord gave me this. Oh, he's so good. Just this analogy as I'm preparing for this, and I had to write it down extra, like I don't have more words to say. But when we are the storm, I just picture us, we get off the rock, and then we're like little tornadoes, like all over the place, and we try and fix this person, and then we try and fix this person, and then we try and fix this person, and then we're a mess. And God is trying to say, you are blowing against everyone, and you're blowing against everything, and nothing is getting done. No one's getting healed. No one's getting past pain. No one's getting past hurt, because God is not an author of confusion. You need to be founded on the rock. He's your anchor. Then from the rock and through the rock and in the rock, you can help people. You can minister. You can love because you are founded on the right thing. You can't do it if you're off the rock. Amen. Our adversary, he would love nothing more than to see people be little tornadoes and be little storms. He loves chaos because then our eyes are no longer on the rock. They're on the storm. They're on the storm in you, on the storm in me, on all these little storms. And he can cause confusion and division. And the enemy loves that because then our eyes are not on God. And it's really just like the serpent chipping away at Eve's foundation. Did God really say that? Who is God really? He's not who you think he is. But when we hide this word in our heart, that's how we combat those lies of the enemy. because this becomes part of our foundation. It's in our heart. It's a weapon against the enemy's lies. Amen. Psalm 61:2 says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Another analogy. If I'm on this platform, this is pretty much like a big rock. No disrespect. But when you're up on the rock, you are on higher ground. So when the floods come, it's going to take a while to get to you. And when you're founded on the rock, your perspective is higher. You see things differently. You're not low, and you're not depressed, and you're not as angry. You're not as frustrated because you're up higher, and your vision is higher, and you can see what God is doing more. And sometimes we want to get down in the dirt and the mire, and God's saying, "I pulled you out of there. Please don't go get back and play in there." And when he is your anchor, you cannot be moved. You know, I know all of the sayings out there. They're trying to be helpful, you know, manifestation and vibes, and we always joke about that. But our faith cannot survive on good vibes. Because everybody's vibe is going to be different over here, and everybody's vibe is going to be different over here. And I was sharing with somebody today, you know, why I don't cut my hair, why I wear a dress. And it's because the goalposts every time, every generation has moved. So I'm going back to the word where the Lord tells me that I need to be covered, that I need to be holy, that I need to be modest. And if the world is going to keep changing the goalposts, I don't keep having to chase that goalpost. I'm founded on the rock. I'm founded on the word. I'm founded on the Lord. He decides what I do, not everybody else out there, because in 5 years, that goalpost is going to change. And I don't want to chase that. It's not going to last. Just think, look around now, what people are accepting now. It's insane. We would have never thought that 10 years ago. They are not founded on the rock. They are all chasing the goalpost. And it's going to always change. But God never changes. To walk around with a broken foundation, honestly, is a death sentence. And the Lord Jesus Christ already paid that. We need God. We need God. Nothing less. Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Calvary was love in action. Because he wants relationship. And he wants to give us an opportunity to make him, that we can make him Lord over our life. His love speaks volumes about his character because he is love. There's nothing compared to it. And it lacks nothing. When he demonstrated his love on the cross and in the grave, it was pure in motive, mighty in power, and accomplished exactly what he said it would do. Our rock is our Redeemer. He saw the fractures, and he said, "I'm the answer, and I am the healer." And the Lord was reminding me of the flood and how the flood was the wrecking ball. The Lord saw fractures and fractures and fractures in different foundations, and he said, "I'm done with this. I'm going to destroy everything except you, Noah. Your foundation is on the rock." And then after, he said, "I'm not going to do that anymore. There's a promise that if you just follow me, I'll be with you." A solid foundation does not sway. It should withstand anything that blows our way. There is nothing that can break the rock. If our foundation is on Jesus, then we cannot truly be broken. Are we going to be hurt? Yes. But with Jesus, we'll be healed a little faster. We can have a rock to cry on. We have his peace every single day, in every moment. And if we're going to already endure brokenness without him or with him, I'm going to choose being with the rock. We are protected on the rock, and we are protected in the rock. Psalm 62, 7 and 8. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My strength does not come from me. It comes from the rock. My refuge doesn't come from me. It comes from the rock. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Not sometimes, although that happens. But we can get back on the rock. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalms 94, 21, and 22. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Psalms 95, 1 through 6. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Why? Tells us why. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. That's why he's so powerful. Our rock is our maker. Our redeemer is our creator. Our redeemer, our father, our son. It's all the same. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's all powerful. It's just, I just can't help it. I love him so much. We don't need anything else. We only need God, amen? And I understand, you know, there are different, there are, you know, a lot of the Bible studies I grew up with when I went to Catholic church, you know, they were a little bit different than the Bible studies I have now. In fact, one of the biggest differences was we weren't given Bibles to take home. That was kind of different. But, you know, maybe that's changed now, but I remember being so pricked in my heart of like, I can't bring this home. I have to leave it at the church. Oh, it's a sacred book. It stays here. And then I go home and I'm like, oh, what did it say? What did I say? What did I say? Now that was me in the 80s, 90s. It's probably different now. But just think of like, man, as a little girl and I'm looking at that book, like I want to bring it home. I wish I could have one for myself. I didn't get one until I was 22 years old, but I'm just glad I got one. But, you know, they stayed at church, and I didn't understand that. And I remember, man, I was so confused. I didn't know why. And then when I finally had my own Bible that I could keep, it was such a precious treasure to me. When I had my own apartment, I was by myself, and I would sit on my little bed, and I would say, thank you, Jesus, that I have my own Bible, that I don't have to share with anybody. I will, but it's mine. Do we understand how precious it is? I know reading it is intimidating. Hallelujah. That's because he wants us to search and take time. God is not in microwave ministry, right? He's in marinating ministry. He's ministering to us. And yeah, there are funny sounding words in here and the number system doesn't make sense. But you know, once I started, I just couldn't stop. God just works on your heart. When you just get in the word, you're not going to be able to stop because it's alive. It's God breathed. And I became so convinced that this Holy Bible was, in fact, God's written words to my heart. It has to be personal to you. It can't just be something that we put on Instagram. It can't just be something that your parents teach you. You need to get in this word for yourself, because in real life, you're going to fall. There's going to be storms all around. You need this. You need Jesus. You need the rock, but you need to be in your word, because then it becomes inside your heart, that anchor. My fractured foundation was being healed verse by verse. Things I didn't even know that I had a problem with. I read something, I was like, oh, I guess I do have a problem with that. Lord, help me. But that's what God does, because he knows our hearts the most. And can you imagine? I'm reading from my tablet. We can carry it around now, digitally. Wherever we go. Now I just opened up my camera. Look at this. We can do that too. But we have book form. We have digital form. I mean, what do we want? What excuses can we make? Do we not understand the magnitude that people have translated this for us and then digitally translated it so that we can carry it around in our pockets on our phone? We have access to the words of the rock every single day. There is no excuse not to use it. And I know it's distracting, and I know life is hard, and I know sometimes our family is saying they're hungry and they need this and they need that, or work and the coworkers, and we have a lot of stuff vying for our attention. That's why we need this, because they're going to convince us other things. And we need this to remember what is right and what is true. We need to have an awestruck reverence to the word that will continue to strengthen the foundation under our feet. Any of the elders that you admire, that's what they did. That's what they did. There's not a secret password. It's not a secret club. It's not a fun button. It's not, you know, you don't have to subscribe. You have to get in your Bible. You have to get your knees in the prayer room. You have to fast. Literally, do what the Bible says. We all want a shortcut. We all want to copy, paste, share this. You know, just hurry, 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 hurry. That's not God's way. God wants us to do it for ourselves. Get in the word. Let it be part of your heart. Let it be part of your being. Then he changes your character to be more like his. There's no shortcut to this. More of him, less of us. Communion, devotion, that is the only way we're going to make it. The only way. And if you're not sure how to stand and you feel unstable, and you're having a hard time reading the words of the rock, that's why we're here. That's why you need a church that's founded on the rock. You need to find a mentor. If you're a young man, find an elder, an older man. You could talk to me, but then I'll probably tell you to go talk to somebody else. And the same with the younger ladies. Go find, you know, some of us. I know it's awkward and weird. You don't want to be like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. It's better than you suffering alone, because that's not what you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be an island by yourself. We're supposed to be a family. That's what God wants us to be. His body, he is the head. So hide the scriptures in your heart. Do your best to obey what it says. Little by little, God is going to start to give you those desires. He's going to change your desires to match his. There are things that I used to do I have zero desire to do anymore. It's true. I don't want that. There was a quote that I read recently by Paul Washer. He's a Calvinist minister, and so I don't agree on everything that he believes, but he does have some good insight, and he had this wise quote that I really appreciated. He says, a lot of people think that Christianity is you doing all the righteous things you hate, avoiding all the wicked things you love in order to go to heaven. That is a lost man's religion. A Christian is a person whose heart has been changed. They have new affections now. Isn't that beautiful? Transformation, not just modification. While the rock is tough enough to stand on, the rock is also gentle enough to mold you. And the reason why the Psalms are full of scripture about the rock is because David knew him personally. When the Lord delivered David out of the hands of his enemies and Saul, he sang this in 2 Samuel 22:29 through 34. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. You know, the world is going to offer you a high place, but it's still lower than the place that God wants you. Jumping down to verse 47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And we know there are many hymns that we sing about the rock, but this one line, of course, kept replaying, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You may stand. We are going to pray together before we're dismissed. I'm not going to make you pray. Play, Sister Debbie, you're good. We're just going to pray. Praise God. Although I love it, you're doing great. I'm embarrassing her on purpose. I don't always write down prayers. I do when I'm like journaling stuff, but not really in my notes, but I have one tonight. So why don't you close your eyes, lift up your hands, your voices, and we're going to speak to the rock of our salvation. Lord, you have shown your love in a mighty way through your word. Thank you for the gift of scripture as it testifies of your power, of your love, and of your grace. Lord Jesus, revive within all of us a revelation of who you are. Each person in a personal way. Highlight those verses that will change our hearts and all of our desires. Lord Jesus, please heal the foundation of our faith and seal the cracks that sin has pierced within us. Lord, I pray that you quiet the voice of the enemy in the name of Jesus and the distractions that try to wedge themselves into our lives. Please reveal to us those who are trustworthy and also reveal to us those who are not, so that we can separate ourselves from their relationship, their influence. Lord Jesus, may we stand on you, our rock, our salvation, that we may hide in you, our rock of defense. Lord Jesus, guide all of our feet, the feet of your people, Lord, every single person in this place and online who are listening, so that we may not slip. Lord, anchor us to the truth found in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching online. I pray that you have a blessed week. Happy Thanksgiving. Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday.